The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, DGS 205. I always hated this song.
Yeah, I apologize for playing it.
That's okay. It's
on
the White Album.
We're going down the whole White Album.
It's the White Album. George Martin famously said that about half the White Album should have been left off any Beatles album.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's become a classic. I love it. But, they were fighting at the time, and Ringo left the band and then came back. And there are only three or four songs that all the four Beatles played on together. And just not a very happy album. And George Martin thought that they put a lot of crap on there.
Okay.
So
I think a lot of great albums have crappy songs.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really hard to make a complete, like, beginning to end. You don't skip any of them.
Yeah. Well, theirs are especially crappy because they were so innovative and they were creating new space. And not all of this space was great.
I gotcha.
Like that one. So Razor's Edge.
Yeah, what do we want to talk about for Razor's Edge? Because I have quite a few things I'd like to discuss. Let's start at the top of the show sheet here. Am I the only one on the show who watches Stranger Things? I think Andrew does.
Yeah, I watch it.
I've watched
them all. Okay, so you've watched it too. Wheels, perfect. I was just now getting to the point where I'm like, I guess I don't care when the final season is released. It's been so long since the last season. I don't even remember what happened. Well, they released the teaser for the final season today. They're going to release it in like three parts. One in November, I think, one around Christmas, and one and then the finale on New Year's Eve. The teaser was so good. I'm so excited to watch it again. And it just got me stoked for this to come out. But the thing that's crazy is this show was originally released in, I think, 2015.
Wow.
And this is like season 5.
Yeah.
So they've really,
taking their time.
The last time a season came out, like, I had not met Kurt yet. We've been together for 2.5 years.
Like, wow. It's been that long?
Yes. And so it's just crazy how much TV has changed. Like, just in my lifetime, they cast these kids. They all did an amazing job. They want to keep working with all of them. But we've watched these kids grow up on screen. Mm. Like, Millie Bobby Brown is married now. It's so crazy to witness.
I think it was like May. It was like Memorial Day weekend of 2022. Because it was when I had COVID. Was like the night that came out. Was the night that I...
You mean the original? COVID.
No, the last season.
The last season.
The last, like, season 4 or whatever.
I don't know what's wrong with me. It's such a pattern with me. I watched the first season of Stranger Things, really liked it, watched the first episode, just one episode. I'm smarter than this. I know that just like you have the Beatles' Honey Pie, that sucked, but it's a great album. I know you can have a bad episode, and I never went back. Just that one episode, I'm like, oh, it's not going to be any good anymore. And I just can't bring myself to go back, and I should go watch it.
Yeah.
It's really fun. It's the kind, because I had kind of fallen off for a while too. And then right before the last new season came out, I was like, you know what? I'm going to get current again, rewatch the whole thing. It's a very solid show. It's not the best show in the world, but they work really hard on it. They do a really good job. The whole 80s thing is, I mean, I wasn't there for the 80s, but it seems pretty accurate.
Oh, no, it's nails.
Pretty fun. It's pretty accurate.
That's why so many Gen Xers love it. Yeah. Because you're just like, it's a time machine.
Yeah.
It was pretty nails for that.
Yeah.
So yesterday I talked about Camp Mystic. The director of the camp had a National Weather Service alert that he waited about an hour before he started actually trying to evacuate kids from the camp. This man did end up losing his life trying to save kids. Look, yesterday I brought it up and I was like, we want to know where to put the blame. Here's an example of, like, here's where I think they went wrong. He should have started evacuating sooner. These counselors should have had cell phones. They should have been getting alerts, too. The whole thing seems rather bungled. I don't think I'm necessarily wrong to say that, but last night I was feeling pretty bad. The Daily Mail posted a video about the situation, like, basically saying the same things I was saying and just pointing out, like, hey, here's a point in which this all started to break down. The comments, though, you know, we complain a lot about the comments on social media. A lot of times it is extremely negative, but people were commenting on this video and saying things like this. He also died trying to get all the kids out. Stop trying to make someone the villain here. Someone else said, here in Texas, we get flood warning texts all the time and they mean nothing. Oftentimes we get them and it doesn't even end up raining. He shouldn't be blamed and he sacrificed his life trying to save people. He literally died trying to save those kids. He probably didn't think it would get that high that fast. It's not his fault. Why do people do this? Typical news media trying to incriminate someone who's doing good things in the world. I'm not saying you shouldn't publish this kind of information. This should be out there. Everyone should know what's going on. But it was good for me as someone who's in the media to see these comments and go like, okay, there is another side to it, too. Because it is easy for me to say like, well, when he got that National Weather Service alert, he should have immediately started moving those kids out. But then if you live in Texas and this is a thing that happens all the time, you do understand the inclination to be like, all right, let's see how this actually shakes out. We'll start communicating among ourselves before we start moving the kids out. So that was just something I kind of wanted to fall on my sword about and highlight, you know, sometimes the good part of having the social media.
Yeah, I have probably been a part of 20 or more sirens or tornado warnings, go to your basement right now, and I've done it twice.
Yeah.
I just think it's kind of human behavior. I'm sure this guy was thinking, I have to wake up 60 girls and 3 in the morning, and it's going to be terrible, and they're going to be scared. I'm just going to give it another couple of minutes, and yeah, I'm sure he had their best interest at heart. He just made a mistake.
Yeah, and I mean, and he's not here anymore, so it's like, yeah, he did make a mistake, but he also did lose his life trying to rectify the mistake. So, you know,
I did see though that there's been some reporting down in Texas that this camp had gotten several exemptions from having to floodproof, from having to have certain construction things, because they had themselves, the way it was put was they had some of their buildings, quote unquote, removed from the floodplain map. Because if you're in this map, then you have to abide by certain codes. And if you want to expand, you have to follow certain rules. Mm-hmm. And they didn't want to for cost reasons.
Okay.
And I don't know how much that led to the problem, but it's still like, why are we trying to get around rules and laws that have to do with floods? Like, they're on the books for a reason. These requirements exist for a reason, because you're in this dangerous area. We shouldn't be looking for exemptions to that. Right?
Agreed. And I think a lot of times, look, I'm not trying to pick on religious people at all. I'm just speaking from lived experience. I think in cases like this, sometimes it's like, well, it's a Bible camp. It'll be okay. Like, everything's totally fine. And then you just don't look into it much more because you're like, these are good people. The kids are safe. That doesn't mean that the people in charge aren't going to try to cut costs, aren't going to make the wrong decision, aren't going to keep people from having their cell phones and being able to make their own decisions on the situation. So it's just one of those things where it's like, we just need to be more cautious when we're handing our kids off for weeks at a time to other people. Yeah. Like, things can go very bad. I'm not saying don't send your kids to camp. I'm just saying, like, maybe look into...
Isn't it amazing that there's still like 130 or 40 people still missing?
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
And like, this is... I'm trying to compare the reaction to this to the Uvalde, right? The school shooting. In the sense that it's not about dragging anyone through the mud. It's about trying to keep something like it from happening again.
Yes.
So if you don't walk through what went wrong and at what level and figure that out, then it's going to happen again. And so this is, again, I think that's a great point, Rach. I mean, this person died trying to help kids. It's not about dragging them through the mud. I'm not trying to take the people who are in politics or the people who run the camp who work to get these exemptions. It's not about burying anybody. But you cannot, you have to learn from these things so that it doesn't happen again.
Yeah.
That's all it is. And I think that's with all of these problems. And I hate it when people in politics, regardless of party, when they're like, it's not time for the blame game. No, it's always time for the blame game. Because until we figure out what went wrong and how it went wrong, we can't fix it. It was that way with 9/11. It's that way with really any tragedy. You have to learn from it so that you can try to prevent it in the future.
Agreed.
Okay, here's another story for you. Have you guys seen this American Idol music supervisor who was killed in her home very recently? Have you seen this story?
Yes.
absolutely crazy. She was, I've never heard of this job title before, music supervisor. I was thinking she was a producer, but maybe they just don't want to use that title for some reason. But she worked for American Idol for 15 seasons. Her name is Robin Kay. She and her husband were executed in their $4.5 million home in a double murder. Now, they have made an arrest of a suspect. But this is just absolutely crazy. Both victims had what appeared to be gunshot wounds to the head. Officers found blood in the entryway and a broken window. And they didn't like ransack the home. So it doesn't look like it was a burglary. It does look like a personal vendetta type thing. But it's just very wild that this happened, especially to someone. You know, whenever things like this happen to like a famous person or an LA person or something, it just makes it so like salacious, I guess, because you think like they're in this millions of dollars home, like in
protected bubble.
Exactly. And that bubble is pierced and it's very scary.
Makes it feel like it can happen to anybody.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. One more story for you guys for Razor's Edge. I may have to go up here. Okay, so there is a woman who has a baby who's 23 pounds already. I think the baby is only 4 months old. Yeah, his name is Gunner. This is a big boy.
Big baby.
Have you seen the baby on social media?
No.
Okay, this is a big boy. The mother is 21 years old. She posted her baby Gunner to social media, and she's like, yep, I have a 1,000th percentile off the charts 4 month old, and she's joking around. She's saying, this is 22.5 pounds of pure muscle, which is cute and funny. But predictively, also, people started to be really mean.
You're a bad mom.
About
what? Saying, like, this is child abuse. You're overfeeding the baby. The baby is far too chunky. You should, you know, be ashamed of yourself that your baby has gotten this point. And now the mom is like, you know, understandably very upset that this is happening and is asking for people to stop being mean about the baby, insists the baby is perfectly healthy. I have maybe what might be considered an unpopular opinion on this one. If your baby is being cyberbullied, just take the baby off the internet. Like, you don't need to monetize your baby.
There you go.
You don't need the clicks. I get it. He's a big boy. It's funny. It's cute. You want to try to like make a run for the social media influencer thing. But if your baby is being hurt in the process, like, you are actually fully in control of that, and you can just remove him from the situation and not put him in that position.
When and how did we lose our politeness? For example,
man,
part of me says, you put something out there on social media, you get what you get, you don't throw a fit. Someone makes fun of you. So, like, for example, we posted a picture of me, a selfie I took last night in my new old man baseball uniform. Someone could go on there and say, like, you look stupid. It's stupid right. That you're even doing this. You're too old, blah, blah, blah. And okay, fair enough. I put myself out there. But you're also being a D. You're also being very not polite. And I grew up being taught to be polite. And you don't say things, even if you're thinking them, if it's going to hurt someone else's feelings, especially, and I think we all have like a little scale in our head, especially if it's unimportant. Like, if it's like Andrew and I, and I'm worried about him, and I think he's making a big mistake, and I say something that's going to make him unhappy, but there's the side of the scale says you need to say something, as opposed to, what a stupid shirt, or I can't believe you're this, or I can't believe that, which does nothing but give me a little shot of dopamine, maybe, but it's something that could stay with you for a long time.
I think it's the classic, like, an easy way to make yourself feel good is to...
And why does it?
I don't know.
Because, look, I'm no angel. I get it. I've experienced that, too. In my private life, and by private life, I mean in my brain, I'm constantly saying mean things about people. Strangers, people I don't know, I'm like, oh, that's so stupid. And maybe I'm the worst kind of person because I'm bad enough to think it, but too big of a wuss to say it.
Well, don't you? I mean, we talk about celebrities bad on the show all the time.
Yeah, because they're not like real people.
Yeah, we're like, oh, they're never going to hear it. And I've seen this a lot online where people will say something mean and then someone replies and they're like, oh, I never thought you were going to see this.
Yeah.
Like people just, there are some people who are able to just fully detach from the reality that anyone can see it. And they're like, oh, it's not real. I'm not actually bullying someone. I'm just speaking my mind. They're able to like draw this line in the sand that doesn't actually exist, but it exists in their brains.
Do you think politeness matters?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. We haven't just taught ourselves that it was just a silly thing that we did and it doesn't matter at all.
Well, some folks are looking at it that way. But like, it's a practical thing, right? If everybody's just being nasty to each other, it's going to escalate.
Yeah, we're here. I mean,
it just is.
We're here because we are social animals that gathered in tribes.
Yeah.
That's why we're here.
And we've been able to move along and function because we do things like try to be polite, even when we don't believe it. Like, it's about just keeping things functioning and moving without fist fights breaking out. And you can say, well, fist fights shouldn't. They will, though. If mm-hmm. people just stop being polite, those things will happen.
You know what always made sense to me? And it's very archaic, but like Downton Abbey era and like English gentlemen, when you just treated everyone with respect. And if someone disrespected you or your wife or something or your child, you would call them out. And you know, you have...
Challenge
you to a duel. Or I'm going to slap you with my white glove or something. I'm not saying we need to be aristocracy, but there's something about that makes sense. You're very nice, overly nice, even when you're not feeling like being nice, until someone really crosses the line, and then you call them out. But you don't do it every day, and you don't do it 50 times a day, because that's just silly.
Yeah, but also, like, that's a direct insult, not going and seeking someone you don't know who posted someone online and deciding to be mean for no reason.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, like, and there is a lot of that know-it-all to what you're talking about with this. That's child abuse. Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, there are human beings that have medical conditions that cause them to eat too much, or their brain signal you're hungry even if you're not. And
blindness.
If we're talking about a baby and you got a crying baby and, you know, they want to eat, what are you going
to
do?
The baby has bottle blindness. What do you want me to say?
What did you kill?
Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We went out tiger hunting.
225 DGS on KMOX. Happy Wednesday to you. Wheels is back. He was gone for 3 days. I'm going to be taking the day off on Friday. I'll be back on Monday. So you're in good hands with the guys here. Today is National Hot Dog Day. And I just have to say, hot dogs are a hill I'm willing to die on, maybe literally. If it takes 7 minutes off your life every time, I'm good giving up a couple weeks.
Yeah. I mean, that it helps that stat sounds like highly phony baloney. You know what I mean?
You know, they also said, they just came out and said that one, now when they say things like, they shouldn't say things like this. They said one diet soda significantly raises your risk of having a stroke. Now let's assume that it's true. When you say things like that, that makes me go, well, it's not like I'm never going to have a diet soda again, so I guess I'm just going to die of a stroke. As opposed to if they soft-sold it a little bit and said, diet soda can lead, you know what I'm saying? Like when they say like one soda, I'm like, mm-hmm. well, what am I going to never drink a soda again?
The story, if I remember it right, says could lead to an increase in the risk. All right, how much? 1%? 80%? Like, did it say?
You know, have to read the article for
like,
that.
This is my point. Like, is it like piling up a bunch of pennies? Because if I pile up a bunch of pennies, eventually I'm going to get to $1,000. But it's going to take me a long time, and it's going to take me a lot of pennies to get to $1,000. You know, I think that those are the things that are context that are important when it comes to, like, is coffee good for you? Is wine good for you? Like, well, all right, I get it. But, like, saying that one thing increases the risk. Okay, how much? How much? Because that's what I need to know to make my decision to stop drinking Diet Dew. Because otherwise, I'm not stopping.
Also, you could get hit by a bus tomorrow. You know what I'm saying?
I like that
eating
philosophy.
Eating a hot dog and having a soda.
Mm-hmm. Man, what if they all happened at the same time? That'd be weird, wouldn't it?
It would be weird.
There goes those 7 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people will talk about like how they'll eat anything, like really any food, without thinking twice about it. But then a full sugar soda, it's like, oh, I could never. I would never waste my calories on something like that. That's an interesting mentality to have too. Yeah, like I'm kind of the same way. In general, I don't drink the full sugar sodas like pretty much ever. I had, when McDonald's came in last week, I had my first real Sprite in a long time. And I was like, whoo, this is crazy. Mm. It's so sugary.
Yeah.
But I'll eat three donuts in a sitting without thinking about it. Like it's nothing to me.
Yeah, well, we donuts are pretty good though.
Yes, please.
Welcome back, DG S on KMOX. Happy Wednesday. Stairway to Kevin.
Sure. So I put on the rundown, it's just a simple sentence, is why are people so blank and gullible? And I saw a story over the weekend. This is one of the things I saw when I was just, just downtime at the house. And it's what you would believe to be kind of this really beautiful human interest story. I saw somebody push it out there. And again, it was a person in the world of baseball, as a broadcaster, who retweeted it. Didn't tweet themselves, but retweeted it and said, maybe it was. It was either a broadcaster or a national sports personality who retweeted this and then just said something like, what a beautiful story, everyone should read. Something simple. And it's not anything ugly, but it's so obviously made up when you start to read it. Yet it's like the most popularly forwarded thing on the internet at the moment. So the story, I won't read, it's a really long story post. And it originated on Facebook, shockingly. But it's a story of supposedly a 24-year-old girl fresh out of college who was volunteering at a hospital. And a baby that was left in a box outside that hospital one night when she was at work, she decided to adopt the baby. And it's all of the cliche stuff you would think of. And now the baby is a teenage boy, and there's a picture of them. Well, the picture is obviously AI generated. I mean, if you look at the two pictures, the girl is the same age in both, even though there's one with a baby and the other one's a 16-year-old boy or something like that. And the picture has a watermark on it that says Chris and Jasmine. But in the story, it's being pushed as Rachel and Elijah. Ooh. Rachel, it's not you.
Ooh.
So it's clear. Even in the post, you're looking at it. And I'm reading. I read this post. And I'm like, oh, this seems like a neat story. And as I'm reading, I'm going, there's no way this is real. There's no. This is just written by someone who, A, doesn't really know how to write. Because it's not written well, and it's like over sappy, and it's super syrupy. And then you get to the picture, and you're just like, okay, that's an AI picture. And yet people are forwarding this like millions and millions and millions of times on Facebook and Twitter and everywhere else. And all the comments are, oh, what a great story. One comment was, I remember this on the news when he was found. It didn't happen. You don't remember anything. And I just wanted, like, I'm guessing, because of the Facebook phenomenon, I'm guessing it's probably largely a boomer thing to the forwarding of this. Because, look, it's a feel-good story, right? This is a baby that was, again, it's a made-up story, but it's a baby given up by its mother after birth and left at a hospital, picked up by a young girl who took care of him, raised him, happy, happy story. Why do you think we fall for these things? Like,
I think you're giving people too much credit for intelligence.
Because my BS meter was, I don't think I'm particularly smart, but I do think that I am literate when it comes to technology and the internet. And I feel like people that are older than me shouldn't have it as bad as they do. I think people choose not to figure these things out. They don't want to take the trouble. Like my parents do not want to take the trouble to take 10 seconds ago. Is this story real? You know what I did? I put in the names of the two people, and then I think I put Snopes. Three words I put in the search bar. First thing comes up is a story, not even from Snopes, that says, yeah, there's a viral AI video, a picture that's out there with a story that's not real, totally made up, and it's blowing up the internet. And then you read the responses, and people are just going over and over again about what a great story, and I'm not crying, you're crying. And all, like, it's not real. And we're so easily fooled. And it's not always something nice, right? Sometimes it's set to make you angry. Sometimes it's set to have a make you have a political bent. What do we need to do to get people over this hump? Where we don't just believe what we see because it feels a certain way to us.
I don't know if there is getting people over the hump. I think it's about to get so much worse. Like when more people learn how to use this technology and then like your neighbor is just cranking out AI slop at that point instead of the, you know, because for the most part now it's just like these accounts, that's all they do. That's all they dedicate their time to. But once the average person gets good at making AI videos, I think we're just going to have to assume everything we see online is fake. Like, you know, for real.
I'm kind of waiting for sort of like when someone's wearing a toupee or if they've had a facelift and you don't know the good ones. Like, maybe I have seen AI and I was fooled by it. But to me, the current AI, which, by the way, today is National AI Appreciation Day, so celebrate in your own way.
All right.
But it seems like the AI currently is very identifiable. I worry about when it's not.
Yeah.
When it actually looks like Kevin Wheeler, not the AI Kevin Wheeler.
Right.
Because now you can, at least I feel like I can kind of tell.
And the photo is one part of this, right? Like nobody's, I mean, all these people that loved it, forwarded it, sent it. They may have scented it as well and made it smell good. They didn't even notice that the names on the picture itself are different than the names in the printed story above it. Wouldn't that be like, I'm not asking anybody to be junior detective or anything. Just like we need,
maybe people don't want
to
know.
We do need to start though. But this is the reason I wanted to ask this question was because of what Rachel said. This is about to get harder. It's pretty easy now. It took me 15 seconds to be like, I'm not sure this is going to be a real thing. And it took a 10-second Google search to find out it wasn't. Do we just have to assume that anyone that is not Gen X or younger is basically, well, you're on your own because you're just not going to learn this? I think Gen Z is probably going to figure a lot of this out.
Mm-hmm.
I think millennials will probably, hopefully. I'm not sure all of my Xers with me are going to do that because some of my Xers fall for this stuff too. But we shouldn't because we were still fairly young when all of the when the internet started, right? I mean, we were just out of college or just in college when the internet became a thing. We should be okay with this stuff. I do understand if you didn't grow up with technology being a big part of your life that it's not easy. But if you're on it, you should learn it, right? If you're on Facebook and reposting things, wouldn't you want to know that what you're sending to the people you love and care about is real? Whether it's rage-inducing or this kind, this thing, this is a harmless story. It's nice. It's going to make people happy, but it's fake. And it's okay because we like fiction. We read things that are fiction all the time. They can make you feel good. That's okay. But this feels like fooling people.
Do you feel like it is a net positive because millions of people had their hearts warmed? Or is it a net negative because they fell for something?
I think it's a net negative because of what it symbolizes, because that means you're going to fall for everything else, too. Because these are the same kinds of things that, like, you know, your crazy uncle sends you in, you know, 17-point purple font. Did you know that whatever conspiracy theory thing was real? Like, we have to be able to tell reality from non-reality. We need to be able to tell fiction from non-fiction. And as soon as we can't do that, we're in trouble. And I guess, guys, the reason that this bothered me more than anything, all of our leaders are in the generation that can't tell.
Correct.
They can't tell the difference because they're not learning it. Maybe in part, you know, if you're a senator, you have a lot of things to do, so you're not spending your time on figuring out what's real and what's not on Twitter. But like people making important decisions are the group of people that are fooled by these things.
It's interesting to me because you know what it's making me think of is on Instagram, there's a lot of like Instagram models who are, they're very beautiful girls. Mm-hmm. The whole thing is like they're basically naked on Instagram. People are looking at these photos for sexual gratification in many instances. Anyone who is able to think this through knows these photos are heavily edited.
Oh, yeah,
you're not
yeah.
seeing
filters,
like an actual, yes, the
makeup.
Filters, all that stuff. You're not seeing someone like in their true form necessarily, but you're still getting that rush of like, I like what I see. So it kind of doesn't matter that this isn't real, that this is like mostly a facade. That also applies to this AI stuff. If you see a video and it's warming your heart, like if you're getting that emotion from it, maybe you just don't even stop to think like, wait, is this real? Because you're getting that gratification right off the top. Same thing if something makes you angry. If it's a fake video that's a rage bait type thing, you're getting that gratification from that rush of anger. People just don't know how to pause. And
it's a good point. People don't watch porn and go, I'm beginning to think this isn't a real pool boy.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what you're getting into.
But, exactly. But you're going into it knowing that.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the problem, because this is harmless fooling, right? Making people feel good is not a harmful thing. But when people start getting sucked in, and then maybe it's a scam next time. Maybe the next time it's something that makes you angry about something in politics that's maybe not even real.
Mm-hmm.
But the story is convincing, and you kind of want to believe it anyway.
What do you think of this story up on the TV? Courts use comfort dogs to help witnesses through testimony.
Good idea.
Yeah.
I guess it's good.
What's the harm?
We're just such wussies.
Like, you're a witness. You're recounting something that might be like traumatic for you. If there's a pup on your lap calming you down, I don't see a problem. It's not like we're comforting the accused.
But if you're asking like a woman to testify against like her husband's murderer or whatever, and you know, that could be a pretty difficult experience.
Or,
like Rachel said, it's not like we're giving them to the defendants. Like, yeah. Here.
Or a 12-year-old kid who, you know, had something terrible happen
you
to them.
You couldn't not give it to an accused person.
But I think it's only on the stand, isn't it?
Yeah, but if you take the stand.
Mm. Yeah, that's fair. You're right.
I don't know.
Some things just seem like so wussy to me. Which I guess is just my dirty word for woke.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Brayton, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Brayton wherever you get your podcasts.
Look at the world, and I know she's well acquainted with the touch of the velvet hand, like a lizard on a window pane.
248 DGS. We're going to do DGS Happy Hour?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
We're going to go first wheel since you've been gone?
Man, I got a million things. All right, yeah, I had another thing on the rundown that really fits this well. So I was out because one of the reasons, to meet my little nephew who's now 2 months old for the first time, but also timed it with the weekend where there was a family reunion in town, a lot of people there. And this happens to me every time. I don't go to it all the time. I get to go maybe once every 5-6 years, depending on it, because it doesn't usually work with coaching schedules or whatever. But there are a few members of my family where I have not seen them in 4, 5, 6 years. And when I sit down with them, it's like I never was not sitting next to them.
Yeah.
Like you start talking and it's like there's no time passed since the last conversation. It feels totally like we were just hanging out last week. Do you guys have that?
But rarely and sporadically.
Yeah.
For me, it's the exception, not the rule.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's certainly not everybody. There's a handful, and it's not even about preference, really. It's just like maybe it's a lot of it is similarity in age. Some of the cousins that are roughly my age, couple in particular that used to babysit me when we were kids, and we've been friends since then. But like I literally wouldn't see them for 4 or 5 years, and you sit down and talk, and it's like no time has passed. You're like,
I'm not close with a single one of my cousins. Yeah. I guess I don't think about it because I'm not close with them. I don't have beef with them. It's just that my mom and dad both grew up in a small town in Southern Illinois, Benton, Illinois, and they're the only ones who moved away. Literally, everyone else in the family stayed. So they're all super tight, and we would go once or twice a year, and we're kind of made to feel uncomfortable. Last time I had to go to Benton was my last time going to Benton.
Gotcha.
Now, I'm super close with my nieces, but we grew up together.
Yeah. But so, I have that with... do you have friends like that?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, you haven't seen friends in a long time. You're like, man, I haven't seen you in 10 years, but it's like nothing has passed.
Mm-hmm. And it's really weird when it's someone who your whole time spent was in your youth.
Yeah.
Then, like, you're 60, but suddenly you're like 20. Which is kind of break your neck, you know?
Yeah.
Rach?
Yeah, I actually, my very good friend Jamie reached out to me last week. We will go like 9 months or so without even texting. It just like life gets busy. Yeah, it gets in the
way. Isn't that nice when someone doesn't shame you for that?
Oh yeah, like with, especially with her, it's always just like, she has twins, okay? Like I'm not over here like, pay attention to me. Like, she's got her hands full. But every time I like hang out with her, it's so cool because it's like, I feel like I'm 15 again, like in a very good, not in like a I'm acting stupid type of way, but it's just like, it's like no time has passed.
Yeah,
it's very, very nice. Okay, here's my happy hour topic. Governor Mike Kehoe has signed a new law. It's called Senate Bill 28, and it introduces significant updates to our vehicle registration process here in Missouri, including the shortening of the expiration date for most temporary license plates.
Is this a thing where it's now going to be like Illinois, where when you buy a car, you're wrapping your taxes into it?
That's what it's saying. It says, this is on KSDK's website. Mm-hmm. New Missouri law mandates sales tax payment at car purchase.
Yes.
And then there are these new temp tag rules. Right now, the temp tags are like 90 days. They're shortening that to 30 days unless you're doing like a $100,000 car or something. They have the option to issue you a 60-day tag. But I mean, I think this is probably going to be pretty positive as far as like not seeing so many expired plates in the St. Louis area, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, the number one reason people don't do it is because of the tax bill, right?
I think so.
Yes. So
because it's a lot.
So once they implement this bill, you're going to pay your sales tax at the time you purchase your car.
Which is kind of, I get it. I prefer that. If I just bought a new car, if I had the choice of rolling the $2,000 or $3,000 into it,
yeah,
I would.
It's a few extra bucks a month. It really doesn't hit that bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when I bought my Trax, first of all, that was the first car I had ever bought from a dealership. Went to Weber Chevrolet in Creve Coeur. Great experience. I'm sure they told me this. It wasn't clocking to me because I was so excited buying my first car from a dealership. When I went to go like renew my license and get those tags at the DMV, and they were like, that'll be $1,500 for the tag. I was like, I'm sorry, what now? I'm glad I brought my credit card because mm-hmm. I definitely don't just have that on me. So.
Yeah. A couple of topics. You know that bats have echolocation, where they're not blind, but they can fly through, you know, dark caves and tell exactly where they're going. And it appears that we have it as well.
What?
It is a place in our brain that is dormant, but scientists now believe that we could develop true echolocation so that we could walk through a completely black room and we could, I don't know, like make some sort of sound and echolocate where we are.
We'd all be Batman.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, is that what Daredevil does?
I think so.
Huh.
That's neat.
Also, broadcast television for the first time in its history is now less than 20% of all screen consumption.
Mm. Yeah, like over the antenna, right?
Yeah.
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 Or is that even counting like cable and satellite?
Well, I think it would. No, that's a good question.
Yeah,
it
probably is. No, I'm saying it probably is. Does count that. Like, that probably is included in that number because nobody has antennas
like
anymore.
2, 4, 5, 9, 11.
Right, but I mean, almost nobody has an old school antenna.
Right, you're going to get it on a cable.
Right, everybody has cable or satellite or something else. Most people do. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember whenever they made the switch to digital? I think it was in 2009. I think it was when I was graduating high school. And if you had like a normal TV, you had to go to Best Buy or Radio Shack or somewhere and get those converter boxes that would convert your television to get those digital signals so you could actually still get TV. Mm-hmm. Now I think like most smart TVs just come with some sort of antenna built in. You can get an extra one, but there's still a way to get the channels. But that was kind of crazy whenever they did that. It was like, what'll they think of next?
I remember the day, the black and white, we had one main television, big friggin' 500-pound Magnavox. We had a black and white, probably 18-inch screen in the kitchen, and then that got put into my bedroom. And that was just like,
hell yeah.
Oh my God. Get back to where you once belong. Get back, JoJo.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.